and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, December 8th, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Elements Bath and Body, wholesale soap making and toiletry supplies, affordably packaged ingredients and accessories for soap makers, candle makers, crafters, and hobbyists. Visit www.elementsbathandbody.com. Well, I'm doubly excited to be on today's Indie Business Radio show because this is our first live stream of the show. And I just tweeted it on Twitter, and we've actually got, it looks like, 7 or 8 people here. And you can feel free to, of course, watch the video and also enter your chat messages below, and we'll be able to see your questions and your comments, and we'll be able to actually take them right here live as we stream the show live. And I'm very excited about that. This is our first time doing it, so please feel free to give us any feedback that you think we need to know about as we move forward. Well, this is just so very exciting. And during these tough economic times, or at least they say they're tough, actually I think they're only as tough as we make them as indie business owners, we keep plowing along, and in many cases we do just what we've always done. We just roll up our sleeves and do it a little bit more vigilantly and a little bit more proactively and make sure that we stay in touch with our customers and move forward with all of our sales programs as we always have. And to help us do that today, we have got our guest, Mark Tewart. Mark Tewart has been an internationally recognized sales and sales marketing expert for many years. He is the author of How to Be a Sales Superstar, Break All the Rules and Succeed While Doing It. And he's joining me today to share information with us about how we can rock our sales numbers despite any kind of economy, whether it's good or bad. And we're real excited to have Mark here on the show today. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Mark.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking me to join your show today.
Well, we're very excited to have you. Now, tell me, Mark, just are you on IndieBusinessRadio.com, and can you see what's going on there?
I am. I'm here.
And you can see my face talking and everything?
I can.
Great. Okay. Well, that means it's working, so that's a really good thing. And I'm not getting any feedback about any picture problems or anything from any of our listeners and viewers, so I guess we're just going to go ahead and get started. Mark, tell us a little bit about Mark Tewart and how he got into this world of helping people maximize their sales.
Well, many years ago, I was a sales executive for a company, and I had a large sales meeting one day, and I asked a question of all of my salespeople and sales managers. I asked them, what if we just did the opposite of what we're doing right now? And they kind of looked at me quizzically and said, what do you mean? And I said, well, there's no answer that I have to that. I am seeking. It's a rhetorical question. I'm looking for, what if we just did the opposite of everything in our sales approach, our marketing, et cetera? Would it make a difference? And the reason I ask is I just thought that the marketplace was changing. People were changing. They were more educated with the Internet, and that we had to look at different ways of doing our business. And that question led to eventually a whole sales training process and a whole book or workbook and several of them. And that led me into a direction where we had a lot of success. We increased our profits and sales dramatically. And then I was asked to do a TV show that was a closed satellite TV training network for different industries that did very well. And then I was asked to do some articles, to write monthly articles for different trade publications. And so it kind of evolved from there until it became this book. And that's how the whole process for How to Be a Sales Superstar came about.
Now, Mark, this show, as you know, is all about very small businesses. We call ourselves indie business owners because we're independent, and we really are what I call actually micro business owners. And so have you found over the years that some of the sales strategies that you have developed, as you just described, working with larger companies and people in your particular sales force, have you found that a lot of these principles that larger companies are using can be translated for smaller companies to use in light of the fact that most of us really do rely on the Internet for a lot of our sales?
Yes, and even more so. And I'll give you the first rule, and that is, for me, all businesses, small or large, are made up of people. So you're dealing with people, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, it's still people. So to me, the classification of large business, small business, just doesn't make sense. Often I'll hear people say, well, I've got to sell to a large company, I've got to market, or I got to write a sales letter to a large company, and they're getting their mind all twisted. And what I tell them, large or small, people are people. So, yes, you actually have more strategies that you can use as a small business person because of the Internet. And today, the reality is any small business can appear to be very large because a lot of it is done faceless today in your marketing and in your sales. And there's so many things you can do to position yourself that I think it takes away that stigma of I'm just a, quote, small business.
Right, and you know, more and more these days, I'm finding, Mark, tell me if you're finding the same, that, you know, it's less and less of a goal for small businesses to look like big businesses because that's not really necessarily a goal that makes any difference in your sales numbers anymore.
I would agree 100%. I think people are less influenced today by the, quote, large company. What they're looking for is a solution to a problem.
Right.
And if you're the provider of that solution to the problem and your personal relationship to that and how you provide it and how you stand out is there, they'll want to do business with you no matter how big or how small. But I think it's an advantage to be small. You can move quicker. You're more nimble. Today's marketplace, you have to either plus or minus your business. You can change the way you deliver it on a dime. You can change the process. You can add on ancillary goods or services. So often, our real successes are the business within a business. We have a business, but as we're dealing with our customers, we realize they have other problems that we could probably provide solutions to, or there are offshoots of our current product or service that we're offering that would be even more helpful or more financially rewarding also for us. So I think you benefit tremendously, and it's great positioning. I believe being a small business right now is great positioning because people are looking for personalization. There's so little of it out there.
Right, right. And indie business owners are really positioned to be able to provide that. Now tell me this, Mark. A lot of people are intimidated by the sales process, particularly when they're very small businesses, Mark, and they're just not used to being salespeople, yet they have a fantastic product, a fantastic service, and they are immensely passionate about it, and they can deal one-on-one with their customers. So my question is, what if someone in that position has all those things, the great product, the great service, the great passion, but they don't consider themselves a salesperson? Can anybody use your techniques to be a good salesperson, even though they have very little to no experience at it?
Absolutely. And the reason is, and you hit on it exactly what I started to cover in the very first chapter of my book, which is how to be a sales superstar, is sales is not a dirty word. And so often if we're not, quote, a professional salesperson, we don't think of ourselves as a salesperson. And the reality is everybody, everywhere, every day, somehow, some way is selling something. Look at your kids. They're the best salespeople on earth. And you have to value yourself of being worthy of selling something. And most people don't achieve the sales they like because they have this little inward voice saying, I'm not a good salesperson. Salespeople are made. They're rarely born. You tend to think of a salesperson in the persona that you see in movies and TV, which is just not true. The best salespeople are better listeners, they're better communicators, and they help people solve problems. They're not this talk a mile a minute, have a answer for every question, this great closing technique. That's just rarely what a great salesperson is.
Well, it's
an inside-out process.
Great. Well, let's talk about that close process because we have a question from a viewer. Jennifer Kirkwood at La Dolce Diva has a question about closing the sale. I mean, you know, we're okay with the pitch because we have the passion, because we have the excitement about our product. So, you know, the challenge comes when that critical moment in time comes in the conversation where it's like moving it from all the great conversation and the potential customer nodding in agreement, you have a great product, I really like you, and everything's going well. What are some tips for how to move that to the next stage where you can actually close that sale?
There's a couple of different things. Number one, you do have to be fairly assumptive. You have to have the confidence that what you're providing is the right solution and not just sit there with dead air where you're intimidating the customer because you're afraid to ask them to do business. However, most of what you've done leading up to that point, if you've done it really well in your presentation, demonstration, etc., the customer will almost want to take it from you more than you want to sell it. And it's hard to believe, but it's true. Now, when you get to that point, that magical moment, one of the best ways to take the fear out of the process is to give people options. Here's option one, here's option two, here's option three. These are the three most popular options that our current customers have been taking advantage. Which one of these would be best for you? Now, that is an assumptive alternative question close, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you are assuming, but you're giving people options. And when people have options, especially educated consumers, they feel more comfortable. If you just give them one choice, people tend to view that as obviously a yes-no question, and that's a little scary, and that allows them to say, well, I need to think about it. The other one is when you provide two, it seems to be either or. The perfect amount of choice, and I don't know why, but I call this the theory of threes or the power of three. If you're going to give choices, which I believe you should, give three options. And the second thing is to allow people to feel comfortable in your options. There's a little phrase, and that is, if somebody else toots your horn, it'll be heard twice as far and twice as long as if you toot your own. Every business, including myself, is void of giving enough customer testimonials. You want to wrap a lot of testimonials from current customers that are finding solutions to the problem that this customer has, that have utilized you, your product, your service, and this is the result. Show as many forms of testimonials in as many ways as you can and tell a story. If you'll remember one thing about sales, facts tell and stories sell. Anything you can put into a story form about you, your company, your product, your service, also your customers, the solutions they're getting to their problems, utilizing what you have to give, will make a huge difference in your closing results.
So those are really great tips, and we're getting feedback actually in the chat room that those are wonderful suggestions. So you're saying that wrapping up in that closed conversation, you know, what has worked for other people and giving concrete examples of such and such a person in such and such a place who did what I suggested or purchased this product to achieve this goal and it's working well for them, for example.
Absolutely. Show them in real time.
Okay.
And get these testimonials in many different media format. Have them on your site in written form, in video form, in audio form. If you were a retail business, hand them what I call a B-back CD. If somebody doesn't buy, hand them a CD and ask them to play this on the way home. It's just 2 minutes long. And on that B-back CD, you're going to explain to them all the advantages of doing business with you, and there might be a quick testimonial from one of your customers also explaining that. And at the beginning of the CD, just tell them to stay tuned to the end to find out how to get their free gift. Well, they're going to listen to the whole CD. And at the end, they have to communicate with you again to receive that free CD.
Now, what if they don't? If you get to the end of the conversation, they take your CD, and we can presume they probably listen to it on the way home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't hear from them, are there any tips that you can offer for people to be able to follow up if they don't hear back themselves? It's like you met the guy and he's great, but he never calls you. What do you do?
You have to massively follow up. We think everybody's going to call us. I was looking at some real estate one day, and a real estate agent, she goes, I just don't get people. They never call me back. And I thought, duh. You know, it's not their job to call you back. It's your job to call them back and to create a different scenario. If somebody looked at something in a process of doing business and they haven't quite gotten over the hump, they haven't made a decision, it's because they have a fear. They have a fear of making a mistake. And you have to practice risk reversal or risk aversion up front, where you're trying to eliminate their fear of making a decision. And that's what they have a fear of. They have a fear of making a mistake in that decision. Anything you could do to reduce their fear, whether it's a form of guarantees, whether it's forms of testimonials, etc., will help somebody feel comfortable. And that usually comes by not only restating what you went over the first time, but you have to change the decision process. You have to add or delete. You have to change something in what you offered the first time to give them a reason to be able to say yes, if that makes sense to you.
It absolutely does. You really have to get in the driver's seat and take the bull by the horns and control the relationship. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Mark Stewart about how to do that right here on Indie Business Radio. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon with sales guru Mark Stewart. And Mark is, of course, the author of How to Be a Sales Superstar, Break All the Rules, and Succeed While Doing It. Now, Mark, in your book, you offer four specific things that everybody has to do in order to be successful in sales. We want you to tell us just briefly what those four things are.
Sales skills, people skills, life skills, and marketing skills. And so often, for all the material that I've read and looked at that goes back to 100 years old, most parts of sales training or information concentrates on sales skills. And it's a more holistic approach. I believe you got to look at people skills. People buy from people, and they're buying solutions to problems. You have to know how to market yourself. If you can't get people to be good, if you can't get them in front of you, you can't get a connection with them, you can have the greatest people skills on earth, but if you don't have people to be good with, it won't matter. And then life skills, which are things like how to maintain and gain and maintain a great selling attitude, how to manage your actions, not manage your time, because there's the same amount of time for everybody. So there's four different skill sets: sales skills, people skills, life skills, and marketing skills.
Now, Mark, I like what you said about managing your actions, not your time. Now, that sounds really critical for anybody, not only in business but also in life. So let's talk a little bit about how we can wrap our minds around that, because most of the time we're concerned with time management, but you're calling it action management, and I want to explore that a little bit. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, there are 24 hours in a day, and we all have 1,440 minutes in every single day. But what I've found is that people that are superstars in any endeavor, they get a lot more of critical action that actually produces results than others. And today, more than ever, we're wasting time but feel like we don't have any time in our day. The reason is we're overusing technology in ways that will not help us. We all have Blackberries. We all have text messaging. We all have a video and internet and a million different things that we're using to make our lives easier. But they almost run counterintuitive because we allow them open and instant access all day long. So we're utilizing them in a way that actually takes up so much time that we can't concentrate and focus on one single thing to get it done. And although we all multitask, I think we've all taken, for the most part, multitasking to a level that is just ridiculous. And so we began to work on with a lot of our clients about finish that thought, finish that action. Actually get something done. Instead of having a to-do list, as an example, everybody does to-do lists. But your to-do lists are often, like I used to do, would be these long lists of ego-driven things. And when I really reviewed those to-do lists, how many of those things were actually producing a sale? How much were actually moving me closer towards a sale now or in the future. So I would invite everybody to create what I call a stop doing list. Every day, review your day, look at that list of what you did in your day and think, what should I stop doing? What should I delegate to somebody else? What should I do less of? And then I have a little saying, you have to quantify to qualify. So if you can quantify what you're doing, you can qualify it to make it better. Otherwise, you're just repeating the same inane to-do list every day and maybe feeling good about yourself because you're busy. I once wrote an article that said, are you busy or are you successful? Boil down what works, do more of that, and get rid of the rest of the stuff that doesn't. That's what I talk about more in the action management.
Are you busy or are you successful? That's good. And, Mark, if you're looking at the at the chat room here, we can see there's quite a bit of feedback from people who are nodding their heads as I am, saying, that's me, that's me, that's me using all these tools and my BlackBerry and everything. It's supposed to be helping me be more efficient, but you're saying that unless we use them wisely, they don't actually help us achieve goals.
Right. I saw somebody on here was asking about things that I utilize, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. I utilize all of those, but maybe not as much as what some people do and the way that they do it. They become so addicted to it that they don't have a plan for what they want it to do for them. If you can interrelate your social media where somebody is, number one, getting familiar with you, but then taking action, whether that's through a video you posted or a special report or something of that nature, where somebody is raising their hand and saying, boy, I have interest in that. But just to be out there with a million different billboards, yes, you may get somebody to notice and come to you, but that's like shooting this massive shotgun. And I would rather have my social media be working in a way where I've worked from what I want to accomplish backwards.
Right.
And so that's what I would invite everybody to look at.
Okay, so that's what that means then, correct me if I'm wrong, is if you're going from what you want backwards, then you will set a goal, maybe it's a sales goal, and for purposes of this call, let's say it's a sales goal, so that you want, for example, each type of social media that you use to somehow either result in, directly or indirectly, in achievement of that goal.
Yes, you want to think from the goal and work backwards and think, what am I trying to accomplish? And the people that see this, what do I want them to do? Do I want them to take action, and what action would I want them to take? And part of this is also just relationship-based marketing. I once heard Dan Kennedy say something very wise in regards to that. He said that most people look for one way to get 100 customers when you should be looking for 100 ways to get one customer. And I agree with that. There's a lot of synergy. You got to constantly be looking for different things, such as your email newsletter, such as your autoresponders that are personalized, maybe even with videos. You got to, continually look at your marketing web. And here's a little exercise. Put yourself in the middle of a piece of paper and draw a little dot. That's you. And that's your business. And then outside of that dot, you want to put a series of dots going around it in a circle. And those dots should signify all the ways that you get leads or all the way that you do business, that you get business, and that you market your business. And then from there will always be subsets of that, different things you do within that particular thing, whether you're doing outbound phone calls or whether you're taking inbound phone calls or whether you're doing an email newsletter or autoresponders, direct mail or dimensional mail, lumpy mail. Those type of things. So try to create as many things. This is what I call your marketing web. What are you going to do to bring people into your marketing web? And you say, well, what does marketing have to do with sales? I want to know how to make the sale. Well, you have to have somebody to be able to sell, and people try to disassociate the two things. They want to disassociate marketing and sales, and they have to go together. One combines with the other. They may have different functions, but in reality, without one, you don't have the other, so they have to be seamless, and you have to do both.
So we're getting some questions, as you may see, coming in through the chat there, Mark. Sales on your website, how can we apply some of the tips that you offered about closing the sale when the prospect is actually coming through the web and you're not face-to-face with them?
Well, on your home page, you got to figure out, I use a little acronym called TOT. And TOT stands for the one thing. So if you drive somebody, what's the only thing you want them to do, or the main thing you want them to do? Most of us have websites that would be called portal pages. But you might want to look on that portal page of not just describing everything on earth that you do, but figuring out what the one thing it is you want to do. Example, to me, if I've gotten somebody excited enough somehow, some way to get them to my site, I want them to opt in to my newsletter.
Okay.
And I want to do that by having that primarily be the main thing with a lot of incentives when people get there to do that, that will reward them.
Very good. I love that. That's a wonderful analogy. And so, speaking of incentives, you know, you talked earlier about guarantees and different types of incentives to help a prospect actually move to the point of sales closure. Are those some of the types of things that you suggest people incorporate into, like, you know, their website online marketing?
Absolutely. You have to think, if I was dealing with somebody in person, how would I apply that to my website? And I saw a question in regards to that saying, well, you know, I'm not dealing with that person face-to-face.
Right.
So think about how you would do that. What is the risk aversion or risk reversal? Number one, you want to build that relationship through that newsletter. And if possible, offer them a second series of bonuses to be able to get your physical address so you can now begin to also mail them. The more ways that you build the relationship, the better off that you are. And then secondly, the other thing that you got to look at is what is the risk reversal or risk aversion? Do you have any guarantees? Example, when I used to do our sales seminars around the country, we had a money-back guarantee. If you didn't like it for any reason, then you could get your money back. In our management seminars, we had a five-way guarantee. You'd not only get your money back, but we'd pay you what you would have paid me. We'd pay you $500 in travel incentive for your cost of traveling to get there. We'd let you keep all the materials for free that you got at the workshop, and we'd give you up to 30 days afterwards to make that decision. Now, that sounds crazy. Who would offer that? I would. Why? I'm confident in what I do. I'm confident that I got the right solution, and if you don't have that confidence, your customer won't have that confidence. What states that confidence on your website?
Right, and that's such a good point. And I do see it much more frequently than I used to, Mark, but I don't see it when it comes to products. And let me tell you why I think that is, and ask for your advice and your thoughts on this. When you sell products, for example, many of my listeners are members of the Indie Beauty Network, and they manufacture and sell cosmetics made with natural ingredients. And the fear is that, you know, say you have a wholesale customer at the spa and you have a minimum order of, you know, $300 or $400 or whatever, minimum opening order, as most people do who sell to boutiques and spas, and you have a money-back guarantee. And what happens sometimes is the wholesale customer is typically not the problem. It's their retail customer who purchased the cream or the lotion and for whatever reason they bring it back and they just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how do you suggest people handle that? The spa calls the manufacturer and says, you know, two people came back and said they didn't like this. If you've offered a money-back guarantee, there goes all $300 worth of the product. So without making it too difficult for people to embrace and having terms and conditions on your guarantee, what are some of the things you can suggest for people in that position?
Well, what I found is a couple of different things. Number one, if you are going to offer a guarantee, by the way, you really diminish your guarantees if you have any terms and conditions to the guarantees.
Right.
And most of us, our fear is greater than reality. Our fear is that people are going to take advantage of us. And I've been offering guarantees on everything I do my entire business career, and it is such a low, low, low percentage that I build in knowing that somebody is not going to like what you do or what you have. But it's a lot more in our mind. It's a fear created more than reality. However, it is creating what I call a stick letter, or a stick bonus. So if you're selling something and you're shipping it out with a guarantee, what will you do as an add-on? What will you do as a plus? What will you put in the letter that would give them even more satisfaction that would greatly reduce refunds and rejections? You'll find if you add what we call a stick letter and an add-on bonus, add on things that would help them in their business maybe, that you're really going to reduce those return rates.
Now we have someone, as you can probably see, Mark, from the chat, who's asking a question. What about memberships, where you pay for a membership maybe in advance, like a year in advance, like we do with the Indie Beauty Network? So they come and they take advantage of some things for a couple of months or whatever, and then they want to all of a sudden cancel and get all their money back and everything. What are some of your suggestions for companies?
But you have to think like a customer. Why do they want to cancel? Is there something wrong with the product? You know, what I want to do is take away the risk and be confident in what I have. Would never want anybody to cancel. And if it does, it's in such low numbers. Example, a lot of times we'll have what you call your 90-day test drive. So you'll test drive something for 90 days, and then it rolls to a one-year agreement. You got to get people in the flow and in the motion of utilizing it, and then you need to over-communicate with them. Are you communicating with your supplier, or you're supplying, who you're supplying it to enough? Sometimes we ship something out, but we're not in direct communication with them enough, and the more you communicate with them, you'll see that your refunds and the people canceling and wanting to send back will go down dramatically.
That's a great question. Great questions, everybody out there listening and watching Indie Business Radio today. I'm so excited to have you here. We're going to take our final break with our guest, Mark Stewart, the author of this great book, How to Be a Sales Superstar, Break All the Rules, and Succeed While Doing It. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here with Mark Stewart. He is a sales guru extraordinaire, and from the comments, questions, and answers that we're getting through the chat room live here today on Indie Business Radio, I can tell that everyone is really engaged and really getting a lot out of this. So, Mark, we just want to thank you for taking the time to be here. I want to take a quick break, Mark, and let you have an opportunity to tell everybody a little bit about what the best website is to contact you, where do we go to get more information, buy your book, etc.
Well, the book is available in all the bookstores, How to Be a Sales Superstar, and Break All the Rules and Succeed While Doing It. It's published by Wiley. It's also available on Amazon, and you can go to two different websites. You can go to marktewart.com, and I'll spell that, marktewart.com. And also, to show you that I practice what I preach, you can go to marktewartlive.com. And there's a video that you can watch on there, as well as the first chapter of the book for free and several bonuses. And then if you purchase the book, there's even more bonuses that you get as well.
Right, and there's a refund, right? If you don't like the book, you get your money back. I guess you can buy it directly from you, that is.
Well, it's sold through the publisher. They're the ones that handle that.
Okay. Well, then I guess everybody's got a different way of doing that, but the idea is so great that you're suggesting that we really, you know, put our money where our mouth is and stand by what it is that we're offering. And, you know, I guess 9 times out of 10, and looking at the comments in the chat room, 9 times out of 10, it's true that if you are offering something of value to the right kind of customer, you're not going to have to worry about this issue.
Well, exactly, and you do want to know about it. There's a problem. And you're having the recurring theme, then you got a problem in your business that's systemic that you got to fix. It's not so much that people want to take advantage of you. I mean, there's always going to be that one weirdo, but you got to let that go. What is the business that you gain? I can't tell you how many times in our seminars and products people would say, I came here to prove you wrong. I came here to get my money back. and I got my value in the first hour. I just wanted you to know that. And that always made me feel good because I took the risk away from somebody, and I conveyed the confidence that they would get what they wanted, and they took that risk, and then they showed up. Did every once in a while somebody take advantage of you? Yes. And you just got to let that go because you got to think of how much extra business that you got out of it because of that.
Right, right. And it happens so infrequently, as you say, when you are really honing in on your target customer and exactly what their needs are. That's really, really good advice. So Mark, let's step back for a second and address an issue that, and viewers and listeners, you can feel free to send your questions through the chat as well. But Mark, you know, I talk with so many people who are just terrified of this sales process, and they're listening to all these great tips that you're offering, but they're not even quite there yet. They have a great product, great service or whatever. Mark, what are some of your tips to kind of, you know, get them in the mood and get them really sort of actively intelligent about doing this in a good way? Is it as simple as like practicing in front of a mirror? What are some of your newbie tips for introducing these sales techniques into your business?
Obviously, nothing will replace experience. So the more that you do it, the more comfortable you'll be. It's just like anything else. You know, I can say that when I first started selling, I was in college, and my first experiences, I was scared to death, and I surely wasn't good at it. I surely was not a superstar. But as you do more of anything, you become so much more well-versed, and you have to have a plan. So if you do plan out the idea of what you want to present, how you want to present it in your process, then you will get more comfortable. Competence equals confidence. So the more competent you are in what you're going to do when you get there with a plan, the more confident you'll be. However, you know, it's okay. Embrace that. It's okay to be afraid. The customers that you're dealing with, if you're one-on-one or on the phone, they're human beings, and they'll want to help you, believe me, if you can provide them a solution. So just get active and do it. And think about this. In any business, there's only five ways to grow a bottom line. You could try to sell more, make more gross margin, get more repeats, more speed of repeats, and get them to buy quicker, or also create what I call a continuity program. And a continuity program is setting somebody up where they will buy continually, like they're buying on a monthly schedule or a membership or something like that. So think about how you can advance all five of those areas for the customer that you're selling to. How can you help them in their life, in their business, so therefore they help you?
Yeah.
And when you do that, people are going to like that you're a person dealing with them rather than somebody walking in that's a sales, quote, robot. Those ideas just don't work today. People repel against that. It's like seeing something from a movie. They just want to deal with a person. Just remember that.
Right, and it's interesting that you say that. I have heard of a couple of people that sell products wholesale to spas and boutiques, and the one person I'm thinking about, you know, her target customers are the owners of these sales of these spas and boutiques, and of course, right now, the economy, you know, having changed a little bit, they're a little bit nervous and things like that. And so one of the things that this person did was institute a periodic telephone call or teleseminar. I'm not sure exactly what they're calling it. But what they do is they invite their spa and boutique customers to join them for a conference call where they offer tips on how to sell their product, how to make them move off the shelf. I don't know if there's a monthly charge for that, but that's kind of an example of what you're talking about, because it's a challenge to do something like that when you're selling products and not services, and really it boils down to kind of being creative. Is that like an example of what you're talking about doing?
Absolutely. Just think of as many ways you can to make their life easier, to educate them more. It might be a teleseminar, teleclass. It might be through your newsletter tips. It might be through a special report. It might be through a CD. All of these things will make a big difference in your relationships, whether it's vendors, suppliers, customers, et cetera.
Right, and that's so good. So Mark, let's talk a little bit about this economy. I mean, you're out there and you're dealing with people every day, large businesses, small businesses, all over the country who are dealing with a very different kind of an environment. What are some of the things that you're seeing from salespeople? Are there any trends that you're noticing, any things that you're noticing that are working really well to help them through this time?
Absolutely. And the first thing is the mindset. To give you an example, and I don't mean to be trite. I, let's face it, there are challenges in this economy. However, what I do know is that the news over-exaggerates everything. They bring it in quicker, and they make it last longer. So I would invite everybody, stop listening to the news. It's so sensationalized, they'll have you cutting your wrist by the end of the day. And the more you bombard your subconscious brain with that, the more you're going to buy into it, that it's reality. The reality is, if people are suffering that much, then that means they're looking for solutions to problems more than ever before. And other salespeople out there are quitting. They're quitting, they're not trying, they're not giving an effort, they bought into this. I personally believe, if you look through history, after any economic downturn that was severe, more millionaires and billionaires are created and more successful people are created after that because of the things that they did during that. So if you wanted to find a great economic time to set and position yourself, and I know this sounds crazy with all the economic talk, but now is the time. Because when the others are giving up, they're weeding and thinning out the herd. They're not doing the marketing. They're not doing the sales. And their attitudes are gone. And remember, when you get somebody who is saying no, it's not you. I always told my salespeople that when you walk out of somewhere or you're on a conversation or whatever it may be in regards to a sale and you get a no, you got to say one word that will give you an MBA, which is a massive bank account. You got to scream the word next, and that is, I got to move on. I got to figure out why I didn't make that sale, but I got to move on. Whether I make a sale or don't make a sale, I got to continue to move on. The only thing that happens when you get a rejection is the rejection. Doesn't mean you can't overcome that rejection. Doesn't mean that you're gonna go and sell the next person. You're the same person after that rejection as you were before. You didn't change. You just had a different result. You have to go through the no's to get to the yes. I always said that, embrace the no's because it's because of them that you're able to get through them to get to the yeses. And in these economic times, what you'll do to educate yourself, I would really invite everybody to massively self-educate yourself. One of my mentors, Jim Rohn, said that you can get a college education to get yourself a job, but self-education can make you rich. And if you spend a day, an hour of a day or more, reading, listening to tapes, and motivating to educate and educate to motivate, you're going to find that you'll insulate yourself because what you impress, you express. If you put the positive in, you'll have positive come out. If you feed your mind with news all day and the negativity, the first time you get in front of a customer and you have an adversarial, an adversary where it says no, you're going to take that to heart, and it's going to say, see, I knew it was true. My subconscious has got all this up in here saying that it's horrible out there right now. I knew it, and I've had five no's in a row. You know, now is the time to succeed, not to fail.
Right. I like that. And I love the MBA. That's really good. Massive bank account. That sounds like an appealing thing for all of us to try and major in to some degree. So we've got another question here coming in through the chat, Mark. How do you promote features of your own product without putting down a competitor when asked by a buyer directly about cost comparison or brand comparison?
Well, to give you an idea, you're right. You never want to put down your competitor's products because all you do is wind up elevating them and making yourself look poor in that example. So when you're talking about features, there's an old adage to sell that the features are going to tell somebody about the product, but you have to give the benefit for the customer of what it does. And I take that a step further. For 100 years, sales training has talked about features and benefits. And the feature tells what it does, and the benefit tells how the customer benefits from that feature. I think you got to take it a step further, and you got to wrap that into a story. Facts tell and stories sell.
Yeah.
Give an emotional story about you, your product, your business, your customers, and those testimonials. Get as many testimonials and as many forms. Let them tell your story. That's how you'll differentiate yourself. Comparing yourself to other people is okay, but you never want to knock somebody in their product because it will never benefit you.
Yeah, I love that emphasis on stories. We talk about it a lot when it comes to public relations and reaching out to media or actually being your own media, which I think is the best way to go for small businesses. We talk about telling your story, and you're talking about in relation to sales, so that's a really good parallel for us to remember. Now, Mark, I'm getting a question through the chat, as you can probably see, and this is a big one. We hear a lot of talk about this today, and the question is this. So, don't cut our prices?
Absolutely, and when people are weak of mind, they start wanting to cut their prices immediately, thinking that's all that anybody's going to determine to make a decision. And there's a little saying that price cutting is a self-inflicted wound. And we conjure up in our mind that everything is so competitive that if I cut the price, then somebody's going to say yes. But if you look through history of your selling, rarely does just cutting the price get somebody to say yes. And that may not be the customer you want anyway. The reality is, what we usually do is go the opposite way. We raise prices. And you may think that's crazy, but I differentiate myself by raising prices. If somebody's comparing me, I want them to think, why is this person or why are these goods, why are these services so much better? Think about it. When you go out and you look at something, let's say you go into a Best Buy, and you look at a group of digital products or computers or whatever, and they're in a line from the least expensive to the most expensive. Don't you at least catch yourself asking your internal question of, wonder why that one is so much better? What does it have that this one doesn't that I'm going to lose out on? What happens is you can demean yourself to the point where people don't want to buy your product. There's only one person, one business in the last 100 years that has sustained price cutting as a business model that has been successful, and that's Walmart. And until the economy went down, they weren't even being successful. They were having very troubling times. That is not a long-term business solution of cutting prices by itself. You got to add more value. You got to come up with why you're different, why you're the better choice. And often raising your prices, and think about this. This is a true fact. They've done many studies. If you cut your prices by 10%, what would that do to your profitability? And how many sales would you have to gain? Now, if you raised your prices by 10%, how many sales would you have to lose for that to really cost you business and overall profitability? What we have always found is when you raise your prices, not only do you raise your profitability, but rarely do you even lose business. You wind up gaining business. It's a fallacy that just cutting prices is going to be a sustainable business model. That's one of fear and scarcity.
That's a really good analogy, doing that analysis that you just talked about. And we have time for one more question, and I think what makes the most sense in the context of where we are in the conversation now is, how do you raise prices when customers are used to the set price? What are some of your tips for long-term customers and letting them know, you know, we are raising our prices, and then how often do you do that?
Well, you got to go into the model and think about this. Create a model where the people raise themselves. Well, do you have a silver, gold, platinum pricing model? In other words, for the silver, they get X. But for the gold, they get X plus. And for the platinum, they get X plus plus plus. They get personal attention. They get, and I'm just throwing out ideas. But if you give them a model of elevation by ego and by success, people will want to elevate themselves. It's a natural upward mobility trend. So if you give people the way that they can raise themselves, you're going to see a large percentage of your customers will do so without you ever even having to ask, and especially if you give them a little incentive to do so. When it comes to pricing, to give you an idea, I believe that you got to plus your price rather than minus it. In other words, what can you add on? Don't cut prices. What can you add on of value? And often you're adding air. It's things that don't have to cost you anything or very little, but that will have a huge perceived value. So add, don't cut, and also think of an elevation pricing model.
That is such great advice, Mark. I have been taking copious notes here, as people on the video monitor can see me looking up and down a lot. I've written down just about everything you said, at least I tried to, and I can read about 10% of it. So I'm very excited that we have the audio available, the video available, and for those of you who are asking on the chat, I have a question here. Gee, I wish this chat would be available after the broadcast, And that is Regina Maurer at Dr. Flowers Essentials. I'm happy to say that it will be available. And Ustream allows me to save the video and the chat. So we'll be able to get real-time answers, and you'll be able to listen to Mark over and over again and also watch the audio stream and the video stream together. Mark, thanks for joining. Tell us one more time where to go to get in touch with you before we sign off today.
My phone number is 888-2-TOURT, which is 888-283-9278, or you can go to marktewart.com, which is T-E-W-A-R-T.com, or for the book bonuses, you can also go to marktewartlive.com.
Great, great. Thanks for joining. And next week, everyone, we have we're ending the year. We're making sure that we take care of our health during the holidays and elsewhere. And so next week, we have got a guest who's the author of this book, Nourish Your Skin and Your Body. I'm trying to show it to everybody here. Not sure if you can see it. There it is. Michelle O'Shaughnessy is the author of this book. And it's all about using Chinese medicine and different types of techniques along those lines to take care of ourselves as indie business owners. We really get so wrapped up sometimes in our businesses and in our personal lives that we neglect taking care of ourselves. So Michelle is going to be here next week, December 13th, to give us some tips on how to do that. Until then, I want you to have a great week, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.